So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Welcome, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. Hope you're well today. Today's Monday, the 15th of June. We're halfway through the month, halfway through the year. How's 2020 going for you? It's a little bit different than we expected this 2020, that's for sure. And as a reaction to all the stuff that's going on in the world, people are working from home a heck of a lot more than they were doing just a short time ago. So just 3 months ago, I mean, who would have guessed 3 months ago life would be like it is right now? It's just weird, isn't it? We're here in Spain. The lockdown's only just kind of been released, really. And we're able to go to shops and coffee shops and Primark and all of those different places. But it's weird as heck, quite frankly, and it's very uncomfortable. Everybody's wearing face masks and so on. But it has meant that the world of business has definitely changed for sure. And if you're not adapting your business to the nature of reality as it stands today, then you're going to miss a few tricks. And we've noticed a couple of things that are happening inside Facebook groups. Certainly a lot more people are coming into Facebook groups and they're trying to promote their business and they're kind of getting it wrong. So this session today is really about what can you do to improve the marketing that you're doing inside Facebook groups. And so we've got a list. Hey to everybody that's watching, please put a comment down below so I know that you're actually watching. If you've got a question, stick it in a box down below. It should come up on my screen and I can answer it for you. But we've got a couple of things that we want to run through in terms of groups. The first section is things that you shouldn't be doing in Facebook groups. And this is one of the big things that kind of winds me up a little bit, to be honest with you. And so someone comes in, they join a group, and almost instantly they don't add any value to the group at all. They just plug their business. And the way they plug their business is they stick a link, like a link back to their website. And it's like Smith's Joinery link, and a link. As though there's value in that post, there's zero value in that post, unless somebody at that specific point in time wants a joiner, but might click on it, but you should be adding more value inside that post. Let me just see, we've got a couple of people coming through. Yes, just about, I wish we could press the reset button for 2020, just unplug it, plug it back in again. Totally agree on that. What a way to begin the decade. It's crazy, isn't it? Absolutely. So, when you join a group, don't just post a link to your website and that's it. You're not adding any value. And so people just discount it. And then all that happens inside that group is it looks really spammy and there's no engagement in that group. And that's definitely not what we want either. And then the same goes for just posting a link back to your Facebook page, or even worse, actually, a link back to your Facebook group. So you're in somebody else's group and you're posting a link to your group. I mean, honestly, we probably delete those posts and probably remove the member because we know that they're just going to do it again. And so we don't want to have to deal with those kind of members. And so the idea here, and hello's in the house. Welcome and hello. Hope you're well today. Thank you for joining. So what you want to be doing is you want to be adding value, but also you don't want to be annoying the admins inside the group because you're not going to last long inside that group, you see. You're just going to get your post removed and you're going to then be removed as well. Especially if you just keep posting spam and the same thing again and again and again. So don't just post links, one to your website, two to your Facebook page, and three is a definite no-no. Don't post links back to somebody else's group or your group away from this group. Okay. Next one is, and I've had this, where someone's posted something in a group, and I go, that sounds interesting, tell me more, and they respond and say, click the link to find out more. Like, I'm clicking no link. And it's like, you don't say something back to the person saying, well, I'm not going to click a link. I've asked you a question. Why don't you just answer the goddamn question? Like, most people won't do that. Sometimes I might, depending on my frame of mind, but I know it's just going to piss them off as well. So all that ends up with is two people being really annoyed. But when somebody responds to you, actually answer their question, that's the point. Imagine picking up the phone, and this is exactly the same situation, okay? Imagine picking up the phone to Smith's Joiners. By the way, I don't know if we've got a Smith's Joiners in the group. If we have, it's not you specifically I'm referring to. It's just a coincidence. But imagine picking up the phone going, can you tell me more about your fitting fire doors? Yeah, just check the website. Slams the phone down. Like, you would never do that, would you, in real life? And being on Facebook and social media is exactly the same thing. If I'm asking you a question, don't just then direct me to your website. Why don't you answer the damn question? Because then I'll be going, great, how much is it? When can you do it? Let me get you on the phone. Let's get you installing. You just lost a customer, effectively, because you couldn't be bothered actually responding. And I'm hoping this makes sense. Just give me a yee-haw in the box down below so I know you're actually listening, number one. But number two, it actually makes sense. But you've got to start engaging with people. And if you ask a question in a group and somebody responds, you should then respond back. Imagine being in a coffee shop and somebody asks you a question and then you don't respond back. It's rude, right? That's not what we want. That's not what Facebook groups are about. It's about engaging and getting to know what other people are doing and what we're talking about and building relationships, because people buy from people ultimately. So 100%, mate, honestly, just don't think people know how to do business properly. Absolutely. And that's actually why we go live 3 times a week, just to answer some of these really simple questions. Like, I think these are really obvious, but then we've been in social media for ages anyway. And Hello's just agreeing there as well. So let's talk about some of the right things that you can do then, and then hopefully that will help people just get to know a little bit more. So one of the biggest things is you've got to start adding value. When you start adding value into the group, people like will recognize it. You will stand out because you're adding more value. And it's not just asking questions. Like, you don't necessarily add value by asking questions, but you add value by giving some advice or solving a particular problem. So we could say, for example, I'll give you an example of a problem that we had a client who had. They got an ebook which wasn't working as a lead magnet. People just weren't opting in for it. And so our suggestion is that they turn that ebook into a paid-for mini training course. And someone's just started cutting grass over there. Thank you very much. We'll talk of. But converting an ebook into a paid-for training course, sell it for £20. Every time you make 20 quid, you can either keep that cash or you can put that then into Facebook ads. So then it's like this ongoing thing. Every time you sell a book, you make more money to sell more. Every time you sell a training course, you make more money to sell more training courses. And then you've got an upsell. Like, that piece of information right there is really valuable information for those people who are not sure how to do that kind of thing. So always add value. So that little snippet right there, if I typed that out and added it as value, some people go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Dan knows what he's talking about. By the way, some people will always go, he doesn't know what he's doing, he's an idiot. And that's true, right? Not that he's an idiot, but some people will say that. That's none of my concern. It's none of my responsibility. If they want to think that, that's great. But always someone who's going to put you down anyway, nothing to do with me. If you don't like what we do, that's okay. It's not a problem. Don't use us. But then that's a small percentage of people who are going to go, that's a useful piece of advice, thank you. Now, you've got to do this on a consistent basis, because every time you're posting and you're adding value, you're building reputation. People are going to know you. They're going to like you. They're going to start to trust you. Now, it's not going to happen on one post or two posts or three posts. You have to be consistent in that group. So, like, for example, we go live 3 times a week. Do you think we build consistency over time? Absolutely. And do you think as well, by the way, I believe in polarizing people. They're going to hate you or they're going to love you. They're going to hate you or they're going to love you. I believe in, if you want to hate me, great. You never do business with me. You never get me on the phone. You never waste my time. Awesome. And then conversely, you're going to have those people who love you and they're going to go, wow, that guy's awesome. I want to do business with him. Brilliant. Now we're going to get on the phone. Then we're going to close some business. Makes life so much easier than getting someone on the phone who doesn't like you, but they don't know they don't like you. Then we're wasting your time. Then they decide they don't like you. I would much rather do that via a video like this or by some content that people go, oh, I don't like him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Or you're going to get people go, yeah, makes total sense. Next time I need that thing, I need fire doors in my HMO, house of multiple occupation. Next, I'm going to use Smith's joinery. That's exactly what we're going to do. Is this useful information, by the way? Let me know. Just put your comment in the chat box. Next thing then is, so number one then is you've got to start adding value in Facebook groups, not just posting your links and posting for the sake of posting, but actually adding value with a kind of in the back of your mind with a thought about building relationships with people, because people buy from people. So add value. Number two then is you've got to identify your target audience. Now, So let's say, for example, in the Leeds business networking group that I'm an admin of, and we are streaming directly into that group, plus a couple of other groups as well. So in that group, for example, there's like 3,500 people, all do completely different things, totally random things. Someone who does meals at home, where they come in and chef for you, which I think is an awesome idea, to people who do keep fit and joinery and fire alarms and CCTV, all sorts of different people, okay? So how do you identify your audience when there's 3,500 different types of business within that group? And you do it by asking a question. I'll give you an example. So the example, looking at my notes here, I used was, do you need cheaper stationery? Do you need fire doors? Or even better, are you a landlord and do you need cheaper fire doors? Like, you could even just stop at, are you a landlord? Because you might be a letting agency or an estate agency. Are you a landlord and need to find your next tenant? Like, that straight away, if I'm not a landlord, but I read that, I know in an instant not to read it because it's nothing to do with me. You could say, no, I'm not a landlord. I don't need to read that one. Are you overweight and would like to lose 6 kilos in the next 10 weeks? Brilliant. I'm overweight. I want to lose some weight. And let me read more. Now you're moving those people that it's got nothing to do with and that will not be interested. They'll just move on to the next post. And those people who are interested, now you've caught their attention. And that's what it's about. In identifying your target audience, you've now got their attention by asking one simple question. The other part of this is working out why you specifically. Like, for example, right now we're just installing fire doors. In a couple of our houses to maintain our safety and improve lives for tenants and all that kind of thing, right? So right now, that's what we're looking for. We've actually got a joiner that does that. But as we know, over time, people generally let yourself down over a period of time, 20 years. They start off well and then they go downhill for whatever reason. So we might need another joiner. So you just putting... are you a landlord looking for fire doors? And I happen to be that person, then I will get them. Now, the next bit really is to explain what your unique selling proposition is. What's your USP? What's so special about that particular company? Now, it might just be that that business happened to post at the exact time that I need it. But it could, you could also put in things like free survey available. Get a free quote. Like, free quotes were pretty rubbish because everyone gives away free quotes. You need to work on something that's uniquely you. So the example I used using a stationary salesperson's example is free delivery in 90 minutes or your money back. Something like that. Like, who's a pizza company that used to do that? Domino's, 30 minutes or your pizza's free. Brilliant. That changed the pizza industry when Domino's came in because that's their USP. So at the point of sale, you need how many reams? 12 reams of A4 paper? Great. Where are you? Leeds 12? Brilliant. I'll get that there within 90 minutes. Awesome. Like, that's a really USP, unique selling point for your that particular business. But you've got to explain what that is for the people within the Facebook group. So this is then what we move on to, what we call branding and value. See, when we talk about branding, people think branding is... let me give you an example, actually. I used to run a lettings agency 10, 15 years ago in Leeds. And Leeds United phoned us up and said, do you want to have your website address and your name on the billboard around a football match? I was like, well, why? And they're like, branding. I'm like, well, what does branding mean? Well, it's having your name splashed about. No, that's not what branding means. Branding takes place inside someone's head. And branding is about what a person thinks about and feels about your business. Like, for example, let's take Gap. I hate Gap, the clothing company. Khaki shorts. Why would I want to wear khaki shorts? Khaki in Leeds means crap anyway. Why would I want khaki shorts, right? Like, I know Gap. Everybody on the planet knows Gap. Not everyone on the planet knows Gap, but lots of people know Gap. I would never shop in Gap. So even though I know the name, I wouldn't shop there because it doesn't align to my brand values. It just doesn't. For whatever reason, I just don't like Gap. So the brand values is what you've got to be pushing out there so people understand what your brand values are. Let me give you another example. So we did a thing where we had a tenant who had coronavirus, and we were checking in on all our tenants to make sure they were okay. We were talking about rent so we could prepare for who wasn't paying rent and who could. And this tenant, he was off work, and I'm like, so how, are you okay? And this guy hadn't eaten in 5 days. And I'm like, dude, what do you mean he's not eaten in 5 days? And he's like, I've got no money. I'm off work, self-employed, I'm off work. He lives on his own. So we sent him like 30, 40 pounds. Don't know how much it was. But we sent him a bit of cash. And we actually sent it to his sister, who went to the shop. She's got no money either. Bought him a food parcel. And then we put that out there, right? And then we explained that to one of the other groups that I'm in. And people are going, that's a really nice thing to do. And I agree, it is a nice thing to do. And it's what we should all be thinking about doing. But right there, that establishes our brand in one kind of situation, not having a name and people recognizing our name, but people knowing what we do for people who are maybe less fortunate than we are. That right there is brand values. If you care about people, if you're going to be on time and you guarantee delivery in 90 minutes or it's free, whatever that happens to be, if you can demonstrate that as a value, then it's going to stick. And if you're out doing this, you should let people know what the brand values are. So don't just post your name or a link to your website. Explain why it's important that people use you rather than the next person. 10% of all sales goes to the homeless charity. Whatever that happens to be, you can do different things as well. So, for example, when I worked for a major bank in Leeds, going back 20 years ago, I was like 22, 25 years ago it was. And one of the things that we did once a month at the end of the month was we'd go around and we'd ask people for old clothes. We'd bag them up and then we'd take them to either something like British Heart Foundation or we'd take them to the homeless shelter so they could go through the clothes. Like, right there is wonderful brand values. And it's nothing to do with your business, but it demonstrates who you are as an individual, because let's face it, people buy from people. People buy from people that they know, like, and trust. Is this making sense, by the way? So your USP, whatever that happens to be, and your USP doesn't have to be charity stuff or anything like that. It could just be never let a customer down. We had a customer, he had a problem. This is an example of what we did to go and solve that problem. That right there is a wonderful post. Mr. Smith, he'd run out of ink. He had an urgent document that he needed to print out and take to the solicitors to get signed off. He phoned us up. It was 4:30 on a Friday. He had a broken leg. He couldn't get out to the shops to get an ink replacement. He phoned us up. He explained what was going on. We said to him, not a problem. We'll be there in 90 minutes. We dropped the toner cartridge. Heck, we even waited for him to print it. And we popped it off at his solicitors just as an extra thing. Like, how amazing is that? And by the way, that's not a unique thing. We see clients doing amazing things for customers all the time, but they never demonstrate it to anybody else. It's crazy. I don't know why would you not talk about that? That's a wonderful thing to do if it was a true story. That one wasn't. I just made that one up. But if it was a true story, you should be demonstrating this out. So, like, if you're posting into Facebook groups, what a wonderful story to post, as long as it's truthful, right? So you should be offering brand values within whatever you're posting. So let me give you an example of a post, and then we're going to move to questions. If you've got a question and you want it answering, just pop it in the box down below and we'll answer it. Otherwise, we end the live and that's it for the day. Okay, so an example of a post, I'm just referring to my notes here. So I put, do you need cheaper stationery? So that's identifying the audience who may be in business, they might need cheaper stationery, or do you need quality A4 paper delivered in 90 minutes? Whatever, right? XYZ, God, so American. XYZ, sorry. XYZ is the leading stationery supplier in Leeds, and our clients come back time and time again for our great prices and superb services. Sorry, there's a fly. If you need to place a stationery order, give us a call and let's see if we can get you a cheaper price. That's a great example of a post. You can add a GIF. By the way, you should practice adding GIFs, adding pictures, adding a logo, adding a testimonial, adding a video to that text. Try and test it and see what works, see what doesn't work. So if you're a fitness guy and you are a PT and you want to help people lose weight, you could give little tips. Like, don't do them every day because it's obvious what you're doing, right? But you could give them once or twice a week and say, just had a client face joint 4 weeks ago. They've lost 4 pounds in 4 weeks. We think that's brilliant. It's not too fast. It's not too slow. It's just right. If you'd like to lose weight in the next 4 weeks, or rather, if you'd like to lose 4 pounds in the next 4 weeks, give us a call or fill in the form on the website and let's have a chat and see what we can do to get you there as fast as possible. That's a wonderful way of doing it. So let's have a look. We've got a question. Top three advertising strategies. Oh, there you go. You would use to promote a fitness business in your local area. So interesting, Joe. What's he called? Joe, whatever he's called, is on Facebook, and all the ladies swooned over Joe doing his Keep Fit on the morning. He came out of nowhere, didn't he? And was very popular. So it's like, what you could do is you could do a 30-second video or a one-minute video. This is a pre-recorded video of you going, saying something like, okay, then, guys, you don't need to work out for 45 minutes. If you just do, I don't know, 30 seconds of star jumps or burpees 4 times a day, when you're just hanging around and waiting, Joe Wicks, thank you. If you're doing star jumps or burpees 4 times a day just to fit it in between your busy schedule, that's the same as doing a 10-minute workout on an evening. Whatever, right? That's one way of doing it, and you're demonstrating a 2-minute video of what you could do for stomach exercises, let's say. That's number one. Number two is you could give people different examples of food that's easy to make, that's delicious to eat, and that can be cooked within 10 minutes. Brilliant. That could be a whole series, by the way, that you record on your mobile phone and you record 20 different videos. If you do 20 different videos and you post one video every 3 days, you've now got 60 days worth of content. Then you write the text, then you have a link back to a web form. Now, that's... And I'm going to draw this up, by the way, because I'm not drawing anything for ages. So this is how it works. You go to Facebook, Insta, and LinkedIn. These are different social media platforms. And you have a video with some text and a link. That's a link. I don't know why I've drawn it like that. That's a link. And then that, let me put a box around it. So that's on Facebook. This is your post. You have a video, you have some text and a link. People click the link and they go onto your page. And on this page, it could be another video saying welcome. And then you've got a box saying fill in your form. That's a lead right there. Literally, that's a lead. That's how you generate leads. If you just post this link here on Facebook with nothing else, that's not a lead. How does that link get from there onto your website and people have value and they can see value? It doesn't work, right? What you've got to do is you've got to warm people up. You've got to make people know you. You've got to get them to like you. You've got to get them to trust you. If you don't do that, and if you're not doing it consistently, people never land on your website. And the first thing that people, I see, try to do is they put a link on Facebook saying, buy my stuff. That doesn't work. Has that ever worked? Mail order, maybe, 20 years ago. But even on mail order, they do it like this. I don't just put an address to send £5 to. That's not how it works. You've got to warm people up. You've got to give them a reason, add value. Then drive them to the first step. So this is step one, which is get an opt-in. And then you can move them to step two, which could be a sales page. Maybe. But it also could be that when you get people on an email, you've got to email them 4 or 5 times, right? And then now you're starting to build up trust, knowability, likability. You're now being consistent. People know who you are. They understand your brand values. It makes the sale here so much easier. And yet what we see people just posting links and then wondering, social media, does it work? You're right. Not doing that. Have we got any more questions, by the way? Because if so, then I will answer them. And if not, do you like my diagrams, by the way? Look at the state of that. It's appallingly bad, isn't it? My handwriting's always been bad. I thought it would get better when I did it bigger. It's not. I don't think there's any more questions. We'll give it a minute because you might be typing. Oh, let's have a look. We've got one. My business approach is trying to work over telephone more than email to build a relationship. What's your thought on trying to get offline more? So, yes, good question. And I've got a couple of answers for that, actually. So let me wipe this, because I'm not saying that you shouldn't be on the phones, because that clearly is going to help. But people make some mistakes, okay? The first mistake that people make is they try and automate everything, including the really important bits, which is actually the bit that you shouldn't automate is the bit that's going to make the sale, right? Which is the human interaction can never be automated, by the way. As much as people want to automate, they automate everything, and then they even automate the sales process, which actually needs human interaction because they want to save time, but they would make more sales if they got on the phone, right? So I think that's really good. And I know, by the way, that my head's just kind of popping over text, but we'll leave it on for a little bit. So I just need to be taller, don't I? So what I would do is this. For every phone call that you make, so let's say that you make, I don't know how many calls you make. Let's say you make 20 calls. One call, let's do the maths on this, actually. One call every 6 minutes. So that's 10 calls an hour. And let's say 4 hours. So that's 40 phone calls over 4 hours. Okay? Now, if you took Mondays and you saved those 4 hours for creating videos, right? And each video is 6 minutes long. Instead, you're going to like this, by the way. Trust me on this, you're going to like it. What you could have is 40 videos, which you spent 4 hours doing, okay? You release a video, let's say one every 3 days, 3 days times 40 is 120 days. Is that 4 months? Yeah, 10 videos a month, is that right? I don't know if my maths is right. Now you've got 120 days worth of content going out because you're putting out a video every 3 days, right? So this is the important thing. Here, you have to do this again and again and again. You have to physically be there. This one, you do this once, okay? And after 120 days, do you know what you do? You go back to video number one. And you do the same again. And after another 120 days, do you know what you do again? You get rid of that so you can see it. You still can't see it. Hang on. Let's get rid of that. Okay. You go to video number one, and you do the same again. So what you've done here is you've expanded this 4 hours here. You've moved it onto videos, but now you've got all that. You've got, what, 360 days worth of content. You've got a whole year of content. This right here now is like a marketing person working for 365 days, and all it's cost you is 4 hours of your time. So this is one of the things that used to annoy me about networking events. You go to a networking event, it takes you 45 minutes to get there. You're there for an hour, okay? And by the way, if I said to you 50 people at a networking event, how many people do you think you should speak to? Answer that, by the way, stick it in the box down below. 50 people at a networking event, how many people do you think you should speak to? I'll come back to that if I remember. Stick your answer in down below. So 45 minutes there, an hour at the networking event, 45 minutes home, so that's 2.5 hours. How many videos can you do in 2.5 hours? Hours, about 25 videos, okay? So now 25 videos, you post those out, and let's say you get 100 views per video. That's 2,500 views. If you, somebody's just put a networking event, you should speak to all of them. Absolutely, you should be speaking to all of them. I'll give you the spiel that you should use in a minute about that, by the way, because I've used it many times. But if you're doing 25 videos, okay, and you've got 100 views per video, that's 2,500 people have watched those views. Now, you've gone to a networking event, or you're creating 25 videos. The networking event's got 50 people. The videos have got 2,500 views. Which one's better? Now, actually, both is the answer, right? Because it's not just networking, and it's not just videos. Do the videos. I mean, I've done networking events, and I've gone there, and people are, like, looking at you like, I kind of recognize you. And then they come up and speak to you, and as soon as they hear you speak, they're like, I know who you are. I watch your videos. And I had this. I had this in Leeds. We went to an event, talking to this lady. And she's like, you sound really familiar and I can't work out why. She looked at my name badge. She's like, I've got it. I listen to your podcast. Let me go get my friend and introduce you. That's crazy. Literally, I walk in, not famous, but definitely felt famous. Someone comes up to you and goes, I know who you are. It's really weird, right? And so you should be using that in your business. That's not to say that you come off the phones entirely or anything like that, because you can't automate the bits that shouldn't be automated. You automate the bits that should be automated. The bits that should be automated is marketing. And by the way, when you're creating 40 videos, we call these assets. These are marketing assets. Remember, an asset is something that puts money in your pocket, okay? A marketing asset is something that drives leads to your website or puts leads in your pockets or puts leads into your sales process. Let me give you the spiel for networking events. Okay, so let me call you Bob. Hey, Bob, I'm Dan. What do you do? Let me see. Is that what we do? Yeah. And Bob will say, I'm an accountant. And I might say, great, Bob. And what's your biggest problem in accountancy? Is it getting more clients? And Bob might go, actually, no, we've got loads of clients. The last thing I need, I've got clients coming out my ears. The last thing I need is clients. And I go, okay, Bob, well, I'm a marketer. And you're clearly doing very well on your marketing. But there's loads of people here in this room that are probably struggling with their marketing. So if it's all right with you, have you got a card? We'll keep in touch. But let me go off and speak to some of the other people who are struggling with their marketing. Great. Bob's happy because Bob knows I'm not wasting his time. Bob knows what I do. It's not a good match. I know what he does. So if I need an accountant later on, brilliant. Now that's Bob gone, and now I'm on to the next person. Hey, what do you do? What's your name? What do you do? My name's Janice, and I'm a virtual assistant. Brilliant, Janice. What's your biggest problem in your business right now? Oh, getting bloody clients. Great, that's exactly what we do. Maybe we can give you some pointers. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'll tell you what, then, Janice, how about I speak to you Thursday at 11 o'clock? Have you got a card? I'll give you a call. Spend 10 minutes on the phone. See what we can do just to help. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you, Janice. Look, there's loads of people here that I want to go speak to as well. Other people are struggling with their marketing as well. It's a common thing. So how about I speak to you on that Thursday? Have a nice evening and we'll speak to you then. Brilliant. Done. Thank you very much. 30 seconds per person. Got around the entire room. You're qualifying people in or out, depending on how you can help them or if you can help them. But you're not there for a holiday. You're not there for a holiday. You're not there to speak to the same three people that you spoke to last month and the month before and the month before. You're there to network. You want to speak to the same people again? Get on the phones. Hey, Bob, we met last week. Should we meet up for coffee? Yeah, that'd be awesome. Now you're starting to build a network and people get to know who you are. Have you got any more questions there, by the way? Did I answer that question about being on the phones more than email? And there's a comment in here. At what point do you grab the beer after all this work? whenever you like. But you see, if you build relationships, people want to go out for a beer anyway. I've done networking events, okay, and just all your mates are there. And not mates, but people from work, and you get to know them, and they introduce you and so on. Brilliant, I answered that. But there's just something else I want to add on to that question about the phone calls, because this is what's really important. Because the phone call is a different section of your business. So, and I'm not going to give all of this, because this is part of some of our paid for content. But right here, you've got marketing. The phone calls aren't marketing, okay? You might, unless it's a cold call, then it might be marketing. But I hate cold calling, by the way. And then you've got sales calls. These are two different things, right? So you might have a marketing call, I'll give you that. Or you've got a sales call, but they're two different things, okay? And you need to treat these as different things. And people try and do videos and have calls. This is the first time I've ever drawn this diagram, by the way, and I'm making this up as I go along, but you'll understand why. And this is the mistake that I see people doing. They see other people who've got sales videos, and they're trying to use video to get a sale, and they fail, right? It doesn't work. Videos shouldn't be used at the point of sale. Videos should be used in marketing. That's the whole point. Then you should have a call to action. So they watch a video, they go yes, they click a link, they fill in their email address, maybe their telephone number, maybe go to a booking system where they can book an appointment in your calendar. Then from there, they get onto a sales call, right? What happens is people are going, they use video for marketing and then they try and use video for sales. And then they wonder why that stuff doesn't work. It doesn't. Automate the bits that should be automated, marketing. Be a human for the bits that people want that human interaction, sales. Is that making sense? So calls definitely have a place. And by the way, not everything's black and white. So you might have marketing calls. You could be cold calling. But this is the mistake that people try to make on a cold call, is to try and make a sale off a cold call. How's that going to work? People don't know who you are. They don't like you. They don't know you. They don't trust you. So your marketing should be putting people into a funnel of some kind so that people get to know you, get to like you, get to trust you, get to meet you. Like some people watching this, I have no idea who's watching this or who will listen to the podcast or who will watch the YouTube video. I guarantee in 6 months' time, when I'm able to leave Spain and come back to the UK, we're going to run a networking event. What's going to happen at that networking event? I'm going to be stood there talking to someone and there'll be other people waiting to speak to me. Imagine that. People waiting to speak to you at a networking event. Imagine, you know, I heard this saying once, walk into a room where everybody knows who you are. Imagine that. That's why we do stuff like this. So, yes, I answered that question. Awesome. So that's what we want for you. But that on its own doesn't take place of a sales call, which might be, oh, Evan Bob, yeah, you want some marketing? Yeah, let's speak to you a week on Thursday, 10 o'clock, and let's run through. Identify what your problem is, identify what you've already done, work out where you want to go, and then work out the steps that are going to get you there. Let's have that phone call. But in 6 months' time, you're going to come up to me. You already know who I am, what I do, and just want to have a quick word about something. You know me, probably you like me if you want to have a chat, and you trust me to some extent. There might be some extra work to do on that trust once we get to know each other a little bit, but that shortens that sales cycle dramatically. Most people that do marketing, okay, they're trying to sell straight off the marketing. That just doesn't work. It's 2020. Nobody likes to be sold to. Do you like to be sold to? I certainly don't. I don't know anybody who does. Like, you know, when you go into a car sales room and the car salesman with slick back hair, you know, his suit, and he's 22, and he lives at home with his mum and dad, and they're going, you know, oh, can I help you? Oh, no, no thanks. And when you go into a glove shop, oh, can I help you? Oh, you're going to sell me something. Like, nobody wants to be sold. So don't sell people. Build up knowability, get them to like you, get them to trust you, and when the time is right, then they're going to come, buy from you at some point. Yeah, no one likes to be sold, but they love help buying. And actually, some of that, you know, that question in a sales situation for a sales assistant, let's say in the shop, can I help you? That's a closed question. It's a yes or no answer. 99%, it's no. Like, what size are you looking for? Might be a better one. Is it for you or is it for someone else? Like, they're better questions, right? There's not enough sales training, just not enough training in business going on at all. Right, we're going to call it there because I can go all day. We got stuff to do. So I hope that's useful for you. We will catch up with you on Wednesday, 12 o'clock, right here. We're going to talk about property in the Property Cash Flow Show. So we'll catch up with you then. If you've got any questions about property, come and speak to me on Wednesday. Other than that, have a good couple of days. Stay safe and we'll speak to you soon. My name's Dan Latta. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.